Tonight on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, I'm going to cover what happened on Monday Night Raw, Seth Rollins shooting on Roman Reigns, a whole bunch of news including CM Punk and Brock Lesnar in the UFC, and to close things out, an interview with Ryan Rogan. Check it out, Pro Wrestling Rewind, coming up right now.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I am here to give my opinion on the product, whether you agree or disagree.
That's called the power, brother.
All right, guys, good evening. Bringing you more positivity than a Roman Reigns drug test. It is I, Bronxzilla, Tony Mirabella. And we have a little different version of the Pro Wrestling Rewind for you tonight. I'm going to do a little bit of this solo. I want to talk about what went down on Monday Night Raw 2 nights ago. Some, well, kind of interesting stuff, I guess. I skimmed through Raw, and to me, it's still kind of just, ugh, brutal. Hoping this brand split maybe will spice things up a little bit. When we get to the second segment, there's a few news stories I want to go over. And in the final segment of the night, the Power Andy Knowles did an interview with In Your Face Wrestling new breed champion Vagabond Ryan Rogan. And we will be presenting that to you to close the show this evening. But last week, I wasn't able to make it onto the show. Just some personal stuff went down, and I last minute had to cancel out. And Andy talked about some of the news stories that I'm probably going to go over later on. Again, you know, I mentioned the Roman Reigns suspension, and I'm going to give my thoughts on that. That's still a gigantic story. And what really shocked me was the way they allowed Seth Rollins to address it at the beginning of Monday Night Raw this past week. You know, so many people are talking about, oh, they tried to recreate the pipe bomb. You know, you CM Punk fans, get over it. Better yet, I've got an even better idea. How about you just shut the hell up? You know, it's like, oh, no, he's trying to rip off CM Punk. Oh, God, Seth Rollins. Believe me, I'm sure he's already been blocked on Twitter, okay? Really? I mean, seriously, would you please shut the hell up? Please, continue to worship your statues of this demigod every night. Get off of Twitter, get off of Facebook, and stop bitching and moaning and complaining and griping and grieving about, they recreated the pipe bomb. Shut up. But in any event, Seth Rollins went on and talked about how, you know, Roman Reigns apologizing for his actions really doesn't matter. And anyway, the gist of this, because I'm not going to go into detail on Monday Night Raw, if you really want to torture yourself, go back and watch it. What happened was John Cena and AJ Styles both said that they would like to be included in this match. In fact, Cena even said make it a five-way match, which ends up not happening because Cena and AJ are going to have matches later on in the evening. Matches, if they win, they will be allowed into the event at Battleground. If they lose, they won't. Of course, at Battleground, as it stands right now, we still have Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Now, regarding that match. I've calculated this, and I believe it will be after the 30-day suspension's up for Roman Reigns. It has to be. And what I'm really afraid of is that they are going to end up putting the title back on Roman Reigns. Yes, I said it, and I know everyone on the network and everyone listening, no, they'd never do that. He's going to be punished. Yeah. Okay, sure. Sure, he's going to be punished. Okay. You know, Dean Ambrose as the champion, and it really sucks for me to say this, folks, because I like Dean Ambrose, and I've been a guy who's kind of been pushing for Dean Ambrose for a long time. And I don't want to sound like a hypocrite here, and it's possible that I will. He's just not doing it for me, man. And you know, a few people have mentioned this. He doesn't seem like he cares about the title. Now, there's a big difference between being crazy and kind of taking a steaming crap on your title belt. You know, it's like him being the champ doesn't mean anything. He doesn't seem to care. And if he doesn't care about that belt, then why should I? That's my biggest issue so far. I'm really surprised that myself as a Dean Ambrose fan, really, I'm not enjoying him as champ. I think they kind of really went too fast after Money in the Bank. I thought it would have been a much better idea to just keep the belt on Rollins. Why didn't you keep the belt on Rollins? He was over. You could have had Dean Ambrose holding the briefcase for a while and kind of tormenting Seth. I think that's the way that you should have went. But they didn't. They wanted to get rid of that Money in the Bank briefcase. And I'll tell you why. Because apparently we're going to have two titles after this brand split. And I guess they just, you know, God forbid we do some creative writing. You know, the world might come to a freaking end. They didn't want to write off the briefcase. They didn't want to do a little extra work. So they got rid of the briefcase as soon as possible. And that's why Dean Ambrose is your world heavyweight champion. But I don't think, I just don't see it lasting. Rusev and Titus O'Neil, I'm glad that this is continuing because I felt that at Money in the Bank, Titus really got humiliated. And if it was going to be a one and done, I think it would have really killed his character. But I'm glad to see that they're continuing the feud between these two, apparently. Titus O'Neil wins via a countout this past week on Raw. And, you know, man, I think my biggest issue with that is Titus, he's doing all right, but would I want to win a match via countout over a guy who has been just dogging on me? You know, I would have rather seen Titus. Let's give Titus a mean streak. Here's what I would have did Monday night. Titus would have lost that match via DQ because he would have kept beating the crap out of Rusev to the point where the ref would have had to call it and then put these two in a cage or something. Let them rip each other's hearts out. Let them kill each other. These are two big, strong guys. I just didn't like that ending. A 10 count, really? Bleh. I'm not digging it. I'm not digging the way they're doing this. Let these two big boys beat the living hell out of each other. Now, I'm going to keep this really brief because Andy wants to talk about this next week. And it's something that's probably going to tick him off a lot more than it ticks me off. Kane is back. And Kane pitches that he should be running SmackDown. And Stephanie says she wants to run SmackDown. So The Miz is back. And Miz comments that he's been away for 30 days and he'd expect better treatment. And Kane says, well, you know, Miz, there is a clause that says you have to defend the title every 30 days or relinquish it. And Stephanie sets up a match where Miz will defend the IC title against a surprise opponent on Monday Night Raw. Now, Andy and I texted back and forth for almost 30 minutes the other night. Because Andy is basically saying that the WWE is once again admitting that there's a 30-day rule. Now, this is a rule that they do two things with. They either enforce it or they wipe their asses with it. Sometimes it's wiping the butthole. Sometimes it's enforcing it. This has been going on for the last 20 years. They do it with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. They do it with the IC Championship. They do it with the US title. They do it with all the titles. Sometimes, depending on who's in charge, there's a 30-day rule. Sometimes there's not. And this is just a case where they've decided to use it again. To me, it's not that big a deal. Andy is like completely losing his mind over this. And I'm at a point where I really don't care because I understand when they want it, they'll use it. When they don't want it, they won't use it. There is no rule book, okay? The rule book does not exist. There are no rules in wrestling. They make it up as they go along. They always have. They always will. So if they want to, you know, I used to get upset over the 30-day deal. I really honestly did. I used to say to myself, damn, you know, is it a rule or isn't it? And when they would enforce it, I would say, okay. And then when they would not enforce it, I would get ticked off. But then I realized I get it. It depends who's in charge. It depends on what the storyline situation is. So it's not something I'm going to lose sleep over. Okay, Kane brought up the 30-day rule and they chose to enforce it. Whatever. John Cena is going to have a match with Seth Rollins on Raw. And if Cena wins, oh God, he's going to be added to the title match. Thank God. Because of a distraction from the club and Styles, Seth Rollins wins. No, Cena will not be in the Battleground main event. Enzo, this was the highlight of the night for me. Enzo and Cass versus two independent guys. I'm trying to find the name of these guys. I mean, obviously, Enzo and Cass win. And the Social Outcasts, which apparently they're still actually employed, tell Enzo and Cass that they need to get out of there. And there's a back and forth between these two groups. It looks like they're going to do something with the Social Outcasts and Enzo and Cass, which isn't going to end up well for the Outcasts. The Outcasts are going to end up being the job squad. That's what they are. That's what they do. That's what they get paid for. So we all know where that's headed. Chris Jericho has a highlight reel with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And Zayn says he wants this to finally end at Battleground. And that Owens is a coward. And Owens blames Zayn for ruining their friendship and says Zayn should have been happy when he won the NXT title, even though it was at Sami's expense. Now, Jericho keeps going on antagonizing these guys, trying to start crap. And in a very cool moment, both Zayn and Owens super kick Chris Jericho simultaneously. So this is going to go on. I'm looking for this feud to end soon. I got a feeling these guys are going to be split up when the brand split. And then at some point, maybe in a year or two, you let this cool down, you can bring them back and maybe have a culmination to this feud. We're going to have one more match between the two. I don't know what it's going to be, what maybe the stipulations will be, but I think that'll be it between Zayn and Owens for a while, and I think it should be. I think these two need to be separated, let them both go their separate ways and pursue other things in their careers, and we can always have them come back and fight each other at a later date. That's the way I'd do it. We do have our IC title match, and it's The Miz versus Kane. Yes, Kane. In the end, Maryse is doing a very good job of playing Miss Elizabeth, minus any type of class. She hurts her ankle, so The Miz has to carry Maryse out. Kane wins, but it's via countout, so the title does not change hands. And The Miz successfully completes his 30-day defense. Again, did anyone really think Kane was going to win the IC title? I mean, that was just complete waste of time. Let's skip to the next important thing on Raw, which is the New Day dressed like the Wyatt family, which I don't know how to feel about this. The real Wyatt family, of course, comes out, and Bray Wyatt, pardon me, says, New Day falls. So we have a, you have to see this segment. Me sitting here trying to recap exactly what the New Day did, I'm going to fail horrifically. It was funny. My problem is, I don't like the Wyatts being made fun of. You know, this is the biggest problem that they've had with the Wyatt family, in my opinion. Now, this can go one of two ways. This can either force the New Day to finally be serious, or it's going to force the Wyatt family into a comedic role, which I don't want to see. And knowing the WWE, let's guess which way it'll probably go. Because after all, we got to make sure the kiddies are happy. We've got to make sure that everyone gets a laugh. But in the end, what I think they're going to end up doing is, rather than have the New Day be forced to take this seriously, have them, you know, be forced to be mature and be completely serious, which is the way they should go, they're going to force the Wyatts to be funny somehow. I don't want to see that. That's going to be horrible. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I don't have any confidence in the writing for the Wyatts. They haven't known how to write for Bray for the past, what, year and a half, 2 years? You know, he's just been the guy who gets in a few jobs, gets in another few jobs, gets in another few jobs. Also, I don't at this point see any benefit whatsoever to putting the tag belts on the Wyatts. Bray is a character who they should start kind of sidetracking into getting a singles title. I'm not saying break the Wyatts up. That's probably not something you want to do just yet. I don't know if Bray is ready to be that singles competitor right now. However, I do think that we need to start setting them apart a little bit, because they're really not, in my mind, a tag team. It's more of Bray is the leader, and these guys are just disciples who come out and, you know, do whatever he tells them to do. So I wouldn't see a benefit to putting the tag titles on the Wyatts. And I don't think that's going to happen, because there's so many tag teams we've got now. Got Enzo and Cass, got the Vaudevillians, who, well, did I just say that? But we have so many tag teams that I don't think it works for the Wyatts. Renee Young, it was cool when she asked the New Day, was it really a good idea to mess with the Wyatts? And Xavier just walks away. So maybe they are going to be setting up a little bit of a dissension or a little bit of a disagreement in the New Day. My question to everyone is, has the New Day run its course? They have had an extended title run. The fans loved them. I love them. I love the New Day. But I'm wondering now, is it getting a little bit on the stale side? They're fun, but I'm starting to ease into that place where I'm starting to get a little bored with them. I'm starting to get to that place where I'd like them to see something, something a little different with the New Day. You might have to get rid of one of them. And by get rid of, I don't mean, you know, permanently from the WWE, but split them up. Might be something you're going to have to do at some point. Because even though they're still getting a great crowd response and they're selling a crap load of babyface merchandise, it's still, I'm starting to get a little bit of that smell. The milk isn't quite gone sour yet. It's still drinkable. It still has a little bit of shelf life left. But it's like that milk that's just starting to get that little bit of smell where you know it's going to be sour really soon. Don't be sour. And I think that's where the New Day's going. And I'm not crapping on them. I'm just thinking they need to maybe turn things around and do something different with these three guys. I'm not saying turn them heel. Not at all. But I think if you do this feud with the Wyatts and you force them to realize, hey, these aren't guys where we can mess around. You know, these aren't silly tag team like the Vaudevillians or the Social Outcasts. We need to really be serious. You know, blowing trombones and cutting funny promos isn't going to work with these guys. And maybe you need to see a guy like a Big E get a little bit more vicious, a little bit more, angry and serious, because the Wyatts aren't going to deal with the, you know, funny laughs. They're not going to deal with the jokes. So that's the direction I'd go. I would show another side to the New Day where, okay, yeah, we fool around. But when it comes time to defend these titles, when it comes time for us to get serious, we're able to do that. Don't go the other way and have the Wyatts look like idiots. Don't let the New Day be cracking jokes and the Wyatts are just looking stupid. No, let the Wyatts come out and lay one of them out. Let them look. Xavier's not getting in the ring and wrestling right now. Have him put out Xavier for 2 weeks. Wyatt's getting the ring, beat him to within an inch of his life. Have Xavier taken out on a stretcher on a life support machine. Big E's not swiveling his hips because his friend is going to the intensive care unit. That's what I do. That's a dynamic that would interest me. But let's see where they go. I mean, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. Again, I've been so disappointed with Wyatt booking. I've been disappointed with Wyatt booking. You could go back and listen to me doing radio shows a year ago. They don't know how to write or book for the Wyatts. Never have. Hopefully they get it right this time. Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me. WWE writing, it sucks, don't you see? Nah, not gonna happen. Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles in the main event of Raw. And if AJ manages to get the win, he will be included in the World Heavyweight title match at Battleground. This was really a good match. I thought these two put on a pretty damn good show, Ambrose and Styles, but there were shenanigans in the end because the Bullet Club tries to come to the ring. They are cut off by John Cena. This distracts AJ and he gets hit with the Dirty Deeds. So your winner is Dean Ambrose. So neither John Cena nor AJ Styles will be included in the match at Battleground. And after the match, AJ Styles and the club go after John Cena. And Rollins comes out to attack Ambrose. And our baby faces are left laying by Seth Rollins, the club, and AJ Styles. I like that. I thought it was a pretty good way to end Raw. Probably the best part of Raw. Maybe the only good part of Raw, I thought. I like the fact that Cena and AJ have not been included in that match. That just would have been horrific. Didn't think it was going to happen. Absolutely thrilled it didn't, because I think AJ and John Cena have a lot of unfinished business. Their match at Money in the Bank I thought was great. I really didn't have a problem with the ending. I know a lot of people did. Oh, they buried, you know, AJ couldn't get a clean win and all this. But that's okay, because it's John Cena. And I think that, we've seen so many times where John Cena will lose the first match and then win the next two. I'm hoping they grow some testicular fortitude here to keep it clean. And they have AJ win again. Even if it's by cheating, have him win again. Where now Cena is questioning himself, gee, you know. Yeah, okay, he's got the club, but still, I can't beat this guy. You know, AJ is another guy, and I mentioned this about the New Day. It's getting stale. They need to do something. The fans love this guy, and the hell with it, man. Let him get another win over John Cena, maybe even a clean win. We have said it a million times, John Cena is at a point in his career where he needs to be putting guys over. And for the most part, he has been doing that for the last little while. Triple threat match at Battleground. Just have this feeling that they're going to pull some stupid stuff and have Roman Reigns win that title. But I'm telling you guys, Vince McMahon, don't give up. Roman Reigns could have been indicted for murder. Vince McMahon, don't give up. I just have that horrible feeling. Right now, in my opinion, if this triple threat does go down as advertised, and I'm sure it will, out of the three guys in that match, I would put the belt back on Rollins. I'm just not feeling Ambrose. Reigns doesn't deserve it. You know, I read this on a message board the other day. If I were the WWE, you know, everyone else gets punished for everything. Why don't we turn this into a triple threat elimination match and have Reigns eliminated in 15 seconds? It'll never happen. But I don't think he deserves to come back and win any damn title. He screwed up. I don't know what he screwed up for. No one knows. They're never going to tell you what it was. He doesn't look like a roid guy to me. You know, I didn't give my opinion on this. But, you know, this guy shouldn't hold a belt for a year. No one else would if they screwed up to this point. Remember when Jack Swagger was going to fight, I believe, Del Rio? Was it WrestleMania? I might have that wrong. I forget what pay-per-view it was. I believe it was WrestleMania. And then he got busted with enough pot to freaking kill RVD. And he never got his title shot. You know, so this guy's going to come back after a 30-day suspension for whatever type of drug it was he used. And he's going to get a title shot. You know, please. This is what really worries me. That they're going to do something stupid and end up putting it back on Reigns, because that's Vince McMahon's boy. That's who Vince McMahon sees when he closes his eyes and goes to sleep every night. You know, there was a rumor. Before we go to break, rumor, R-U-M-O-R, not fact, that Vince actually wanted to cover this up. and just have Roman lose the belt but not be suspended for 30 days. I believe that rumor. And I have friends on this network who will argue with me. But Vince McMahon is horrifically insane at this point. Horrifically insane. Probably very, very close to being demented to the point where he's going to need someone to care for his personal hygiene. I believe that. And I believe he would have been sick enough where if this wouldn't have leaked, that Roman Reigns still would have been wrestling. Again, rumor, I can't prove that. This is all just me. We're going to take a break. Excuse me. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of news. And then in our final segment, we are going to have an interview conducted by the Power Andy Knowles, new breed in-your-face wrestling champion, Vagabond Ryan Rogan. All that coming up right here, the Pro Wrestling Rewind, the SNS Radio Network, the PIB Radio Network. We'll be right back, sponsored by Evil Seed Sauces. Live good, eat evil, treat your meat, evilseedsauces.com. We'll be right back.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
It's Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011. And you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya! And I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
Is listening.
This is the all-nighter. This is the sexual intellectual. This is the largest man in professional wrestling. This is Shooter Storm, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network.
And we're back. More Pro Wrestling Rewind right here, the SNS Radio Network, the PIB Radio Network, brought to you by Evil Seed Sauces. Check them out. Treat your meat. Facebook.com/Evil Seed Sauces. Go there. It's barbecue season. 4th of July is coming up in a few days. Maybe there's enough time for you to place an order and get it in time, but it's coming up really quick. By the way, I am Bronxzilla. Happy 4th of July, if I don't speak to you guys before then. Coming up in a few days, this coming Monday. 3-day weekend. A little bit more than a 3-day weekend for me. I'm going to tell you guys, man, I've been so pathetically lazy the last 2-3 days. I went into work Monday. I decided I was going to take a week off. And I won't be going back to work till July 5th. And I've just been very, very lazy the last few days. Haven't been doing much. Haven't been accomplishing much. This brings us to the first story I want to talk about someone who hasn't accomplished much. I couldn't believe this. Here is how the news story reads from WrestleZone. UFC fighter CM Punk appeared on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. And here are some interview quotes via Fox Sports. Now, hold on a second. Last time I checked, unless I'm smoking the same type of stuff that got Roman Reigns suspended, CM Punk isn't a UFC fighter yet. Last time I checked, he hasn't had a UFC fight. That's the first thing, okay? Secondly, I think CM Punk is a piece of human shit. That's right, I said it. For appearing on this show, okay, Colin Cowherd is the guy who's made a career out of talking crap on wrestling fans. That's what he does. But yet all you guys out there, all you wrestling fans, want to worship this piece of trash Punk like he's a god. Yet he appears on this show, Colin Cowherd, a guy whose mother could have been a superhero had she fallen down a flight of stairs in her second trimester, who does nothing but rip on wrestling fans. That's all Cowherd does. But yet, here's your Jesus Christ appearing on this show. Back in, this is quoting Punk, back in what I want to say 2011, my contract was up and they were trying to re-sign me, and they were trying to re-sign me for low ball figures. First I've heard of this. It's what they do to the guys. They're indentured servants. They try to pay them the smallest amount of money you could possibly pay them. There's no health insurance. True. You're responsible for your own travel, your own hotels, your own food on the road. Now, hold on one second. Doesn't this sound familiar? Who else said this recently? Ryback, the guy who's dumb as fuck. I'm sorry. The guy who CM Punk can't stand, he's basically quoting Ryback in every sense of the word. Let me restart this. In 2011, it was kind of hanging in the balance there, and I made the decision to resign. It's not that I regret the decision. It's just that if I didn't resign, I would have dedicated myself 100% to this. So I resigned. That story unfolded, that chapter of my book's over, and now I 100% dedicate myself to this now. I guess he means UFC. It's just later than I anticipated, and it's a bigger challenge now because I'm older. Here's what he said on him, quote, soiling the sanctity of MMA by not working his way up the rankings. Quote, there's something pure about it that nobody outside the cage can touch. Do I think that I'm ruining the sport? No, absolutely not. Do I know there are people out there who are going to say that? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't get to see them on a daily basis. And when I want to shut them off, I just don't read my Twitter. You know, man, look, and I know, and this is just me. I have no idea how Andy is going to react to this. Don't dump on the rewind. I'm going into business for myself right here, okay? Andy has nothing to do with this. So for any CM Punk fans I ticked off, Bronxzilla, Tony Mirabella, I'll give you my personal email address. Okay, snsbronxzilla@gmail.com. Real simple, okay? None of this is on Andy. Don't send him angry emails. I am completely and utterly going into business for myself. But I think it's kind of screwed up. And I think some of you people out there have lost your mind. Again, snsbronxzilla@gmail.com. You have lost your freaking minds when you continue to love this guy as wrestling fans when he goes on Colin Cowherd. Again, look it up. This guy has a history of basically saying that us wrestling fans are retarded. But yet, you'll still sit there and talk about this bitch like he's the greatest guy in the world. He's the greatest wrestler who ever lived. He's the greatest guy who ever took a breath. And no, he's not a freaking UFC fighter because he hasn't had a fight yet. That would be like me saying I'm an astronaut. I'd love to be an astronaut. I'd love to go into space one day. But I haven't done it, so I can't call myself an astronaut. Related to this pile of crap, former WWE superstar CM Punk was one of the most notable UFC signings in recent years. On September 10th, 2016, calm down, he will make his long-awaited UFC debut. Oh, God. When he faces Mickey Gall. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. I don't care. In a welterweight bout at UFC 203 in Cleveland, Ohio. In the main event at UFC 203, which takes place at Quicken Loans Arena, hometown hero Stipe Miocic, whoever, defends his UFC heavyweight title for the first time against Alistair Overeem. In the co-main event, Fabricio Werdum faces Ben Rothwell. Oh, yeah, let me go in my pocket and make sure I got, you know, $500 to buy this pay-per-view. Oh, can't wait. You know what, man? Again, I don't know, man. I don't know how you would, as a wrestler, even a former wrestler, how you could sit down with this Cowherd guy, and I don't know if other people have done this before, other wrestlers have done this before. If they have, I don't know. But the way this guy is dogged on wrestling fans, for him to do an interview with this guy, keep loving him. Keep worshiping him. You know, CM Punk, the Jesus of pro wrestling. The god of pro wrestling. The greatest wrestler who ever laced up a boot. Yeah, wait a minute. Let me make sure I'm on my freaking knees. Hold on. Hold on. Let me get down. CM Punk debuting in UFC. You've got my email address again. Send the hate mail to me. All day long. I don't care. My personal Twitter. @SNS_BronxZilla. Don't send anything to Andy. This has nothing to do with him. He has no idea I was going to say all this shit. And yeah, I cursed a few times. That Andy told me I could do. I asked him if it was cool because this story really set me off. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick. Block me on Twitter, bitch. You know, I'm just so sick of this. I'm going to block people on Twitter. I'm going to punch someone in the throat. I'm going to have a fight if my lady parts are feeling all right. I'll bet you $20 right now this fight doesn't happen. And if it does, I hope Punk gets beaten into a freaking coma. How about that? Really, man, I don't understand how wrestling fans love a guy who basically urinates on them. What the hell is wrong with you? Seriously, and let me put this out there. I used to like Punk. I really did. And I will still say he's probably one of the top between 5 and 10 promos I've ever heard. I'm not going to sit here and say the guy wasn't talented. In the ring, 7 out of 10. 8 out of 10. Okay? But I had sympathy for him after he got released. And I still will say this. Sending the guy the release on his wedding day, that was WWE being complete asses. There was no need for that. And then Punk had every right to be pissed about that. The MRSA crap on his back, I don't know. I haven't really seen evidence of it. So it's very hard for me to comment on it. If it was true, again, Punk was in the right. I just don't like his attitude, man. I don't like him. I liked his character, and this is the weird thing. Usually it's reversed. A lot of times you may hate a guy's wrestling character like Kevin Owens. Everyone despises Kevin Owens in the ring. But then when you read about the type of dude Kevin Owens is, in real life you like him. Punk's the exact opposite. I absolutely adored Punk as an in-ring character. I just can't stomach him as a person. I think he's a complete and utter douchebag. Okay? I probably overwent my limit on cussing. Sorry, guys. What could I tell you? That's what I think. That's how I feel. It's all me. Don't know what to tell you. You don't like it? Eh. Guess what? I'm gonna sleep fine tonight. Another news story with someone who actually has a little bit of integrity, a little bit of heart, and who isn't a piece of human trash. Darren Young met with Pulse nightclub survivor Angel Santiago. Now, I've read Angel's story, and he was one of the survivors in that nightclub that was shot up by that freaking lunatic. And it was on the WWE's Twitter account. It shows Darren Young meeting with Angel, and, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's because, you know, Darren is admittedly gay. Yeah, that's simple. That's what it's about. You know, Darren Young, he's openly gay, and this horror happened at a gay nightclub, and he's trying to show his support. And, you know, whether it's a company thing, I know a lot of people jump on the WWE, and they're like, oh, well, they only do this because, you know, he's gay. And, well, so what? You know, he's trying to do a nice thing. I have no problem with it. Kudos to Darren Young. Glad he's getting involved. Everyone should get involved because this gun violence in America, it just needs to come to an end. It really does. People just getting shot because of sexual preference or some other insanity. It's too much. And you know what? No matter what the motivation is, it's good that WWE does these things. Stephanie even gave her support to the survivors of the Pulse nightclub. And unfortunately, the 50 people that didn't make it because of some guy who either didn't get hugged enough or got hugged too much as a kid. You know, it just completely sucks. I'm going to talk about Bret Hart's podcast for a minute here. I like this. You know something? I was never really a big Bret Hart fan. Okay? I have nothing but the utmost respect for Bret as the performer he was and the wrestling legend that he is. I'll never deny that, but I just never really cared too much for Bret. But I'm going to tell you, in the last few months, Bret has been doing this podcast. And I think Bret just doesn't give a damn anymore. And God bless him for not giving a damn. Kind of like me tonight. Bret the Hitman Hart spoke about Curtis Axel's current role and push in WWE on his latest episode of the Sharpshooter podcast. And what Bret says is, I wish they would do so much more with Axel, Kurt's kid. It's such a shame. Bret says, I've never understood it from the beginning. even the name McGillicuddy or whatever the gimmick was, it just seems almost like impossible odds to turn that into any kind of successful storyline. What do you do with that? It never made a lot of sense to me. I think he's really a wasted talent. I think he's a real talent. He's every bit the athlete and the performer his dad was. Well, Brett, okay. I just always thought that he was a little bit like Cody Rhodes, where it's like they never quite gave him the right things to book him to be the star that he was. You know what? I think Curtis Axel really got screwed over when that Axelmania thing had to die. And the Axelmania thing died, I think, because if you remember, Hulk Hogan, the whole Gawker thing came out where Hulk had, you know, it was reported that he had made those racial comments and everything, and he was fired by WWE. And that kind of put the kibosh on that whole Axelmania deal. I liked Axelmania. I also loved the gimmick, and I thought this should have been carried over, where Curtis wasn't eliminated for the Royal Rumble, man. I just loved it. I, you know what, man? There was a lot that I think could have been done with this kid. Why can't you just say he's Kurt Hennig's son? I don't get it. For all you gaming enthusiasts, Brock Lesnar was revealed to be the cover boy of WWE 2K17. Yes, the Beast will be on the cover. The video can be found. You can do a search on YouTube, or you can go over to the SNS Radio Network Facebook group, which I encourage all of you to please send a request. If you're not on the SNS Radio Network Facebook group, just search SNS Radio Network in Facebook, I will make sure you're signed up. You can also check out, of course, Pro Wrestling Rewind on Facebook. We're all about Facebook. We're all about social media here, like the WWE. But yeah, Brock is going to be on the cover of WWE 2K17. You know, I find that interesting. This whole UFC thing with Brock, I find very captivating, because it seems like the WWE really isn't capitalizing on the fact that Brock is going to be in a major UFC fight. And so many people are talking about how, is this cross promotion or not? Here is a guy who is under a WWE contract. Okay? He's under a WWE contract. He's going to be fighting in a major UFC fight. And the WWE hasn't really promoted this on Raw, to my knowledge. Now, mind you, I skimmed through Raw Monday night. If there was a point where this was promoted, I apologize. Let me know. But I'm wondering if this was some type of contractual loophole. Maybe when Brock left the UFC, there were still some strings attached. I really don't know. But it's odd to me. I almost think that the WWE is waiting to see if Brock wins or loses. And it's going to be like, if Brock wins, and the WWE is going to be like, oh, one of our guys, the WWE, you know, Brock Lesnar, went and won a UFC fight. And if he loses, you'll never hear about it, at least not on WWE TV. I'm wondering if that's the direction that they're going, but I'm thinking that even though the contracts for WWE and 2K are pretty separate from everything that everyone tells me. Everyone always wants to tell me, well, these contracts are completely separate. But the fact that Brock scored the cover of 2K17 pretty much tells me that WWE can't be that ticked off about him doing this UFC fight. But if they're not, then why isn't WWE advertising it? I'm a little confused here. This is one of those cases where I want to be, you know, a fly on the wall and find out exactly what's going on. I'd love to know how Vince McMahon really feels about Brock going back to the UFC. Now, whether this only turns out to be one fight, whether it turns out to be a, you know, group of fights. You know what, man? I got to give it to Brock, okay? I like Brock, even though he's really not a personable guy. You know what? I'm not either. I'm a miserable bastard. I'm like Brock. I would love to have a piece of land with an electric fence where no one could come in and bother me. I'm a loner. I kind of relate to Brock. I would love for Brock to hear this. I'd love to talk to Brock one day because I kind of dig his attitude. You know, he's just one of those guys who wants to be left alone, doesn't want a lot of people bothering him. He's really not the fan-friendly guy. I kind of relate to that. But, man, this guy knows, and I wonder if maybe it's Heyman, who we all know in real life that Heyman and Brock do have a relationship. Okay. Let me rephrase that before one day I end up getting punched in the stomach. Brock and Heyman have a professional relationship where Heyman kind of, I almost get the feeling where Heyman really is like an advocate for Brock. I almost think that some way, somehow, Brock is paying Paul Heyman to take care of his business. Or maybe Brock is just a lot damn smarter business-wise than we all think. But here's a guy who will be the first ever to have a WWE contract and fight in the UFC. He's, to my knowledge, the first ever. And unlike CM Punk, Brock actually is a UFC fighter because Brock was actually the UFC champion. He really is a UFC fighter. He's got a WWE contract, okay? He's going to be fighting in the UFC. He's going to be on the cover of WWE 2K17. Is it physically or mentally or emotionally or spiritually possible to get any cooler than this man? Right now, Brock is the freaking man, okay? Forget I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Brock. He is making money. He is everywhere. I got to give him credit. I don't know how he does it. Don't get me wrong. The guy's captivating. I'm interested in Brock. I want to see him in his UFC fight. I hope he wins. I really do. Because I think that Brock maybe has this mental, I think Brock has this emotional scar. When he lost his final UFC fight. And I think he's not doing this just for the money. But I think he's a legit badass who wants to prove, you know what? Yeah. I got taken out. I had to leave the UFC the way I didn't want to leave it. You know, he had diverticulitis. He had to go back to wrestling. But I think this is a mental thing for Brock. I really do. A lot of people, and I've never met Brock Lesnar in my life, but a lot of people will sit there and say, oh, he's doing it for the money. Maybe. Could be. Nothing wrong with that. No law against it. But I think this could also be a psychological thing for Brock, where he wants to say, you know what, man? No, I'm not happy about the way I went out in UFC. But let's see what happens. And I got to give props to Paul Heyman, too. Paul Heyman's the one who narrated the video of Brock being announced as the cover of 2K17. So Heyman is making his money, too. These are two guys who I like. Paul Heyman's a New York boy. He's from Long Island. My boy. I like Paul. I just like Brock. Brock reminds me of me. I'm kind of antisocial. I'm kind of a loner. I kind of get, you know, Brock did that interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is still on the network, I'm sure, where he tells Steve, you know, I got a fence around my property, man. I just want to go home with my hot, beautiful wife. And I don't really want to be bothered. The other thing I respect about Brock, and we're going to close out this segment with this, and this, you know, I hate for this to turn into the Bronx kissing Brock's behind segment, but I like the fact that, you know, Brock doesn't give a damn, and he just admits it. This is a job for me, man. It's a job. I clock in, go out in the ring, kick someone's ass, clock out, go home. You know, lay next to my hot wife. Kudos to Brock, man. Brock's a role model, okay? Every red-blooded American male should want to be like Brock Lesnar. He is on top of the world, man. Sorry, I'm marking out, okay? Cool for Brock. Can't wait to see what the future's going to hold for him. But what the future's going to hold for the Pro Wrestling Rewind is we're going to go to break. This segment sponsored by Evil Seed Sauces. www.facebook.com/Evil Seed Sauces. Check them out. When we come back, Andy Knoll's interview with Ryan Rogan. He is the IYFW New Breed Champion in Your Face Wrestling. So I hope you all enjoy this interview. As for me, I'm going to be signing out this week. Thank you all for listening to my ramblings. You CM Punk fans, sorry. No, I probably pissed a few people off, but it is what it is. I am Bronxzilla, Tony Mirabella. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS Radio Network, the PIB Radio Network. And we'll be right back with the Power Andy Knowles and Ryan Rogan. Don't go anywhere. Don't run away like CM Punk. We'll be right back.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
When the winner of Extreme Chef Season 1, Chef Amadeus, quoted, "I'm an extreme fan of these sauces and the fact that evil does a body good," we knew Evil Seed Sauces was a force to be reckoned with. Evil Seed Sauces has been seen on the Cooking Channel, the New York Times, CBS, and the Huffington Post. Now it's your turn to see what everyone online is talking about, and that's the unbelievable selection of sauces that you can find only from EvilSeedSauces.com. Evil Seed is the home of the Big Evil Bacon Barbecue Sauce. And if you're a bacon lover, this is a must-have. Try it in meatloaf or sloppy joes, baked beans, you name it. Treat your meat to the best in sauces available from EvilSeedSauces.com. Check them out on Facebook at Facebook.com/EvilSeedSauces, on Twitter at Twitter.com/EvilSeedSauces, or on their website at EvilSeedSauces.com. That's EvilSeedSauces.com. Live good, eat evil. Evil Seed. Sauces.com.
This is the all-nighter. This is the sexual intellectual. This is the largest man in professional wrestling. This is Shooter Storm, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network.
Great friend of the program. Pro Wrestling Rewind, the power. Man, you got to turn that down. Power Andy Knowles back with you here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS PIB Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining me again. I promised you last week, ladies and gentlemen, big treat. In Your Face Wrestling was here in Messina. It was my honor to be the ring announcer for that event. As you know, to be on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, you must do one of two things. Shooter Storm, having promoted and main evented his own event, got on the program. We have with us, so proud, so honored to have with us on the program, as promised, the brand new In Your Face Wrestling new breed champion. We have the Vagabond with us, Ryan Rogan. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Well, how are you doing, champ?
I'm not bad. I'm just here at the payphone, you know, giving you a call in to conduct this interview.
Well, you know, I got 50 cents Canadian on its way. So we're gonna pay you for your time on this. You sir, I'll tell you, we got a chance to meet you very briefly when I was at the Fight for the Mind event. You were there. You had a great match. You were part of the main event. You came out of that. I wasn't even aware. I was really surprised. I wasn't even aware that you were contending for the In Your Face New Breed Championship. You beat Firework Fox Vineyard for the championship recently. Come back to that event that you won the championship and tell us how that felt to be the new, brand new In Your Face Wrestling New Breed Championship.
Oh, well, you know, it came as a shock a little bit, you know, because I just showed up to the show, you know, with my cup, my bag, and do what I do for the last 11 years. And I just got in that ring with Fox Vineyard. We tore it down, and I was the better man. And Fox, unfortunately, wasn't.
Now, he did come out on his Facebook page, and I want to ask you about this. He claims that he kicked out at 2, and the referee never called it, and that he should have never counted to 3, and that you should not be the champion. Your response?
Oh, well, if Fox wants to react like that, that's not a problem. But if the referee counts a 3 count and he rings the bell, then it's the referee's decision. So I am the new In Your Face New Breed champion.
So now, for those of you, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you here as part of our Know Your Indies promotion, In Your Face Wrestling out of Albany, Drake Evans promotion, does events up and down the eastern part of New York. But you, sir, are no stranger. You're no stranger to championships. This isn't your first championship. This isn't your first rodeo. You were, now correct me if I'm wrong now, because I'm just going, I'm going secondhand on this, current New Breed champion, but you also were the CRW Quebec champion at one point. You were also the Montérégie Wrestling Federation regional champion twice, and you've also held the tag team championship there as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and, go ahead.
Oh, and I was also the FLQ heavyweight champion.
Okay. They didn't have that listed. So you're no stranger to holding championships. What does it mean for you now? This is a guy, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never seen him, this is a guy that goes to the ring. He has his backpack with him. He has all his worldly possessions with him. He brings a cup. I don't know where you get the cup from, McDonald's, wherever you get it. And you go around, and the fans, I've never seen this. This fascinates me. You go around asking the fans for money, and they are giving you money at ringside before you even get into the ring.
It's clever, isn't it?
It's brilliant. You're not only taking home your cut of, you're not only bringing home what you're taking from the gate, but you got a few extra bucks in your pocket.
Well, that's the art of it, you know. And to answer your question from before, I just stop at a Dunkin' Donuts or any coffee shop. Maybe I think there's a Stewart's there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a Stewart's cup, Dunkin' Donuts cup. And if there's anyone out there that actually wants to sponsor me and you know, promote me a cup, then I'm all open for that.
So you go around. Now we were talking before coming back on the break. You did not, and we were very when the event had come around for Fight for the Mind, you and the other wrestlers donated your time to this event, which I thought was absolutely fabulous. The fact that you guys would come down, and I thought this was really brilliant on your part, the fact that you could still donate your time and still get paid for the event.
Well, I did not. I didn't get paid for the event. This is an event that I decided to do on my own because I wanted to do it out of goodwill for the Alzheimer's Association and everything. And at that show, I ended up making $51 and change, and actually a $10 Canadian bill, which was pretty cool. I decided at the end of the night, you know, because I do have to go from town to town and everything, but I did decide to donate half of the money that I made from that night to the Alzheimer's Association.
I think that's fantastic. You know, it was for somebody like Shooter, I think we can all, we can all agree. I was going to say something, but let me ask you this. How did you get involved in that particular event?
Oh, well, you know, I've known Shooter for quite a lot of years, and I hadn't spoken to him in about maybe 5 or 6 years, and I had just shot him a message. I'm like, hey, how's it going? It's been a long time, and we kind of kept in touch a little bit, and then I heard that his mom passed away, and I felt really bad and everything, so, I gave him my sympathies and my condolences, and then I heard he was promoting a show, Fight for the Mind, and Tommy German was going to be a part of it. So I'm like, you know what, you know, I'm just going to go there and support him and support the cause and, you know, just do what I do best and, you know, just entertain. And I had a great time. It was a great event. And, you know, I hope there's going to be another Fight for the Mind.
Well, Shooter has come out and said adamantly that there would be another Fight for the Mind event coming around next year. I would hope to see you at that event. I know I offered my services as ring announcer to be part of that event. One of the things that I found really quite fascinating when we were at the event was the camaraderie between all the talent, not just the American wrestlers, but the Canadian wrestlers, you yourself, the Black Widow, Ray Steele. There was quite the camaraderie. It's like you all, I'm sure, have all worked together at other events before. Is that something that is common to indie wrestlers? Or is that just something unique to the Canadian or the in-your-face wrestling community?
Well, if I understand your question correctly, when you're traveling from place to place and going from show to show, you're always going to see the same familiar face all the time. And like I said before, I've been doing this for 11 years, so I've seen a lot of people and I've done a lot of shows with a lot of people and the same shows, like night after night, and, you know, and going out, and, you know, and from hotels to bars and all that stuff, you know. So yeah, like the wrestling brotherhood is pretty tight, you know, and then we all have our backs, and, you know, we just look out for each other.
Who do you really enjoy working with the most in this industry out of that group?
Out of the
group that, if I were to take a look at some of the wrestlers that are on, say, the Monterrey roster or the In Your Face roster, is there particular talent that you enjoy working with more? Guys that you look forward to working with or tagging with?
Okay. Well, I don't have a particular favorite person that I like to work with, but I definitely have everyone's saying this Cody Rhodes list kind of thing, you know, like I do have a list of guys who I'd like to get in the ring with. And of course there would be a list of guys I'd love to tag with. I would say maybe a guy who I really like to get in the ring with. I've said this for many years. Brian Kendrick looks like someone I would like to get in the ring with, you know, his agility, his speed and everything. I always thought I could pull off a really great match with him and entertain the crowd and everything. So, and as far as going for like a tag team partner, I don't know, like, I've had a lot of tag team partners in the past. That one off the top of my head, I'm sorry. I can't answer.
That's okay. You are originally from Montreal. You live in Laval.
Yes, I live in Laval. I wander the streets of Laval in Montreal.
What got you? I mean, Montreal has a rich professional wrestling history. I mean, the names that have come out of Quebec, I mean, the Rougeaus, Dino Bravo. I mean, there's some legendary names that have come out of Quebec that have really owned this industry. Who were some of the people growing up that you really look towards as leaders in this industry, and what got you, you know, from, you know, from being in Laval to now, you know, being in this industry 11 years now, being the new breed in your face champion?
Well, it kind of started for me. The first time I watched pro wrestling was Survivor Series 1993. And I always remember the main event was the Quebecers with Ludwig Borga and Yokozuna versus Lex Luger, the Steiner brothers, and Undertaker was making his return.
Yeah.
And I always remember that event. I probably watched that event so many times that the tape itself broke. you know, I guess guys I would look up to, you know, like The Undertaker was one guy who I really liked. You know, he was just like larger than life and, you know, just this guy in a black hat, black suit, and he's just coming from the dead and everything. Like, I was like, whoa. Like, I was actually scared of The Undertaker when I was a kid, but I liked him. I was scared, but I liked him. I was a really big fan of Macho Man Randy Savage, like everyone else. You know, he was just so colorful and entertaining, and like, you know, his big elbow drop from the third was awesome. You know, there was guys like Shawn Michaels, you know, you know, his sexy boy gimmick and everything coming out, and you know, doing the muscle pose, and I was a Bret Hart fan at one point too, you know. All kinds of guys like that I looked up to when I was a kid. And then when I got into wrestling, I was 14 years old. I was trained by Jacques Rougeau. And I remember getting into the business and, kind of studying the business a little bit more and like appreciating everyone's work instead of just one person, because like, you know, it takes bravery for us to get in a ring and just wrestle and put our lives on the line, you know? So I appreciate everyone that goes into a wrestling ring. So, you know, like guys like, maybe one guy I can name right now is, Jake Roberts. This guy was just like so fascinating to me as I got older in the business, because his psychology, his promos, even his wrestling, is just the way he moved and everything. And I tried to incorporate some of his style into my style, not ripping him off, but I just tried to, you know, pick a little bit of stuff off him and, you know, and try to incorporate that into my stuff. You know, and then to go to your question about being the new breed champion, I thought it was really awesome. You know, I've been working really hard for a long time, and getting into New York and becoming in your face wrestling new breed champion was quite an achievement for me, because, how can I say this? Like, you know, like when I was a kid, like I didn't get those, like, you know, those awards and those medals and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
When I get those belts, I guess it's like, okay, it's cool. It's rewarding. It's like, I know that my hard work is being proven to everyone. And, you know, it's taking notice. And I was really proud of that moment. You know, getting into that right now. Yeah, I was really proud about that. You know, I even posted a picture on Facebook and everything on Instagram. And, you know, I said that title win was for everyone who supported me over the years. And I really mean that.
I remember that post, and it was very, it was very heartfelt, and it got me thinking, and I'll ask you this. Was this your biggest win to date, taking that championship?
You know, like, I'm not going to say it's my biggest win, but it was definitely, one of my biggest accomplishments, because for many years I've always wanted to come to the United States and wrestle. But you know, due to circumstances and whatever reasons, I was never able to get my foot in the door in the United States. And I've only started doing this, I've only started getting my foot in the door in the United States, last year. I had attended the NWA Legends Wrestling Camp, you know, and then I made a bunch of contacts over there. And then after I came back, I stayed in Quebec for a little bit. And then in January, I approached In Your Face Wrestling about coming down and doing some shows and everything. So like, that's where, like, at the beginning of January this year, it's really where it began for me. And so basically, like, yeah, it's pretty cool, you know, like, seeing that within the last 6 months, you know, my hard work has paid off. So I'm just going to continue and keep the ball rolling and hope for the best.
And we wish you the best too. I really would, you know, when you take a look now, and I'm just going to go off on a bit of a tangent, but when you take a look at some of the big names right now in the WWE, and you've got two of the two of the key players right now, WWE players, are guys from Quebec. You've got Kevin Owens, who undoubtedly has got to be one of the biggest Quebec stars right now. Sami Zayn coming behind a close second. And you take a look. Do you take a look at these guys who have gone through the wars and seen what they've gone through and say, you know, yes, I can do that. I can be that next guy. It's possible we can get there.
Definitely. Definitely. You know, I've always had a lot of confidence in my talent and my abilities. I believe that the key to believing in yourself and having confidence and all that is just imagining yourself there, you know, and I imagine myself there one day. I don't know when it's going to be, but one day I am going to be there, and it's going to be the proudest moment in my life when I am.
What has to happen? What do you think needs to happen at this point in your career? 11 years now, you're the new breed champion. You take this run. I mean, you've got a bullseye on your back right now. You've got Garrett Holiday chasing you. There are other top contenders for the New Breed Championship that are coming after you. You know, what is the next step? I mean, how long realistically, now I'm going to put you on the spot right now, with the top contenders right now for the New Breed Championship, I mean, realistically, how long do you think you can hold on to this belt? Because they're going to be coming after you from all angles.
Okay, well, to answer your question, as long as I say it's going to stay on me. And there can be any challengers coming my way. It could be Garrett Holiday. It could be Zach Clayton. It could be Drake Evans. It can be anyone. I just guarantee you, when I step in that ring, I mean business. You know, I might be a nice guy a little bit on the outside, you know, but when I get in the ring, I'm going to kick your ass. That's for sure.
Yeah. So not so much from an anger standpoint, but this is a professional standpoint.
Yeah.
I'm the champion, and to get where I need to be, I got to remain the champion. So if you want to get anywhere, you got to go through me. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, basically, you know, and yeah, I'm not just doing this to prove it to me. I'm also proving it to the fans because they're paying a ticket to come see me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to make sure that I defend my title with honor and passion and determination. And that's exactly what I'm going to do at each show. And I all respect the hell out of the person who takes it off me, but they're going to have to fight a really, really dirty fight.
You bring up a good point in the fans. We've seen a lot recently in some of the bigger organizations where the fans maybe have taken too many liberties as it pertains to professional wrestlers. You know, and you said, you know, when the fans come, they pay, they're going to see a show. And I think that you and I would agree. A fan can come, they can cheer who they want to cheer, they can boo who they want to boo, and you keep it inside the arena. What are the professional wrestlers' expectations of the fans outside of the ring? What do you expect of the fans, and what should the fans expect of the performers when you're outside of the ring, when you're outside of that arena?
Well, you know, we're all human beings, right? So I expect the fans to at least treat us with respect, show up to the shows, cheer for who you want, boo who you want, buy whoever's picture you want. It doesn't matter because we're all there to have a good time. My view is that when you come to a wrestling show, yeah, you know, get into it, scream, yell. Like I encourage you to yell as hard as you can. I even encourage you throwing stuff in the ring, but that's not my that's not my my place to say anything, you know. But you know, as long as you're in the show, you know, and don't hit the wrestlers, you know, don't touch the wrestlers, because you know that that can turn out pretty bad, you know. And just to see, there was this one thing I read not too long ago. This woman, I think in North Carolina, pulled a gun out on a wrestler, right?
Wow.
Did you hear about that one?
No, I haven't. Now you've got me interested. Go ahead.
Yeah,
continue.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about it, but you know, just I guess the guy who, I don't know who it was, but apparently that he was just really into it and everything, and then he really got the fan really, really mad, and she ended up pulling a gun out. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, you know, like, first of all, why are you carrying a gun? And second of all, it's like, okay, like, you're really into it.
This was very recently, you said. Female fan pulls gun on independent wrestler in Georgia during a match.
Yeah, there you go, Georgia. There, you saw it, right?
I'm looking it up right now. We're trying to pull up the story. WrestleZone had this story. So bear with me. I'll go off on this very, very, very quickly here. Let me see if I can pull this up. NBC3 Chattanooga reporting. Oh, my goodness. Wow, this is amazing. A 59-year-old female fan named Patricia Ann Crow was arrested for aggravated assault and reckless conduct. Clark pulled a loaded gun on independent wrestler Paul Lee and his manager at an AWF event in Ringgold, Georgia. You can listen to the Lee and the entire story. There's a link. Wow, that is just... This is the first I've heard of this. We're going to have to take a look at this. Lee explains that he had tied up his opponent in the ropes and was hitting him with a steel chair. Clark then approached the ring with a knife, attempted to cut the wrestler free. Lee then told the woman, who he claims was missing teeth, to sit her toothless self down. Clark did not appreciate the comments that Lee made about her appearance and pulled a loaded .38 caliber handgun on him and his manager. Lee,
hey, man, that's heat, huh?
That is heat. Lee quickly took the gun from the woman and subdued her while waiting for police to show up. The news report notes that there were around 150 people in attendance at the show, including children. Going forward, all fans attending AWF events will have to go through metal detectors before entering to ensure this doesn't happen again. Wow.
See, now I'm going to say something here. This is a big problem because now if I am a parent and I want to bring my child to a wrestling show,
yeah,
and then it's our first time going to a wrestling event, we've never seen anything, we haven't experienced this, and now we're going to this independent show, and then this woman pulls out a gun, what impression does that leave on the wrestling industry?
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that I found go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I guarantee you that that parent is not going to bring back their kid to the wrestling show because they're going to think it's way too violent.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we talked about in the production meeting at the Fight for the Mind event was the fact that, you know, this was a PG show, and, you know, we want to keep it family friendly, and the fact that, you know, that the language was relatively subdued, and the wrestlers, you know, you all came out during the intermission and were mingling with the fans. I mean, that's the impression that you want to leave with the kids, not a woman pulling out a revolver and threatening talent.
Right. No, it's ridiculous, you know, and I'm always for mingling with the fans and talking to them and asking them how their experience was and if they would come back and then ask them for a nickel.
You know, there you go. Now the fans, we talked about this last week. You know, you've got to travel. You have a long road day, a long travel day. You get to where you're going. As the professional wrestler, because of the industry that you're in, if you get somebody that recognizes you, even, you know, you've had the long travel day, you haven't eaten, you're grumpy, you're maybe on 2 hours sleep, is there an obligation there by the talent to be professional, acknowledge the fan, hey, hi, how you doing, thanks for the support, or can you respectfully get out of it and say, you know, I appreciate your support, but really I've had a very long day, I apologize. You know, how does you're tired, you're grumpy, you've had a long day, how do you approach that with the fan?
If I was in that situation, thinking off the top of my head, I'd probably say if I was in a really grumpy mood and, you know, I haven't eaten and I haven't been to the gym or whatever, then I'd definitely just approach it nicely. Like I would never get mad at a fan or talk aggressively to them. That's not my type. I'm not that type of person. I've always been a social person and willing to listen to people talk and everything, right?
Right.
But approach the situation where it's like, you know, like, I'm really sorry, you know, I've had a long drive, I haven't eaten anything, you know, like I would just take the picture anyways, you know, like it takes a second.
Is it more, and this is where I'm kind of going with this, is it more the pro wrestler's responsibility, the performer's responsibility to be the bigger person, be the professional, and just suck it in and do what's best for the fan and for the industry? Or does the here's the second part of that, or does the fan need to be more responsible and more respectful of the talent and recognize that these situations may happen? Whose responsibility is it more? Is it more the performer to be more professional or the fan to be more respectful?
It has to go both ways. You know, like if I'm a fan and I see The Undertaker at the airport. Actually, this is a true story. I saw The Undertaker at the airport once when I was a kid. And I saw him and, he kind of looked like in a bad mood because I guess, you know, all those years of traveling and, you know, and probably didn't get enough sleep or whatever. And I asked him for a picture and he said no. And he walked away. But then later on in my career, I understood kind of why he did that, because it's like, okay, you have so many people coming up to you and asking for pictures and autographs and everything, you know? But I think it works both ways. You know, if I was a fan and I saw The Undertaker, if it was today, I saw he was tired, I'd probably not approach him because I know he's tired.
Right.
You know, so if you're the fan, like, and you see that the person is already in a bad mood, or like, maybe it's best not to approach him because, you know, maybe something can happen. You can say something, hurt your feelings or whatever. But at the same time, on the wrestler's side, it's like, you know, you could take that second and just take the picture. You know, it's like, I don't see a big deal, to be honest. You know, it's just hi, how, it's really like 15 seconds, you know, it's like, hi, how are you? Thank you. And here's a picture. Have a great day. You know, it's not that hard.
Do you think that maybe it's an evolution of the career in that you work so hard, you've had 11 years, you work these small venues, you obtain these championships, you try to make a name for yourself in this industry. You're willing to do whatever it takes to get to that level, and then we see these guys who go on to these upper echelons of the industry, and they kind of fall away and forget where they were, forget where they've come from.
Right.
And is that just something that we as fans should expect, or should the performers expect, you know, is there more of an expectation of the performers that, you know, I really need to be more fan enabled, or you see where I'm going with this question? Does the evolution of the sport, the evolution of the performer getting to the upper echelons, does that change their perception on how they should be left alone or how they should be perceived in the industry?
No. You know, you got to remember where you came from. All those people that came to those indie shows and all those, you know, church shows, bar shows and everything, those are the people who supported you and who were behind you and got you to where you were today, you know, if you're signed by WWE. So you have to learn to appreciate that stuff.
Do you think that the fans now are different than the fans that you and I were? I mean, I've been a fan of this sport since I'm 46 years old, 45 years old now. I've been a fan since I was six, watching Stampede Wrestling out of Calgary. So, I mean, I've been watching this sport for a very, very long time. Are the fans of 20 years, 30 years ago different than the fans now?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. 30 years ago, you know, you had grandma at the edge of her seat in her living room about to, like, cane the TV, you know? and then now today it's like people know it's, you know, that it's entertainment and, but they want to get into it.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, it's like when you go to a movie, you know that you're going in the movie and it's like, it's not real. Right. But yeah, it's definitely changed, you know, like I've heard so many stories from the past, how crazy crowds and like how people were just so into it. You know, people were smoking in the arenas at the time and drinking or whatever, you know. So, yeah, it was just a different atmosphere. And today's wrestling, it's more like, OK, well, we'll sit down, we'll cheer, we'll scream and we'll appreciate the wrestling. That's how I see it.
Where does the Vagabond go from here? I mean, you are the New Breed champion. We've talked about that. We know what your expectations are with the championship. Where would you like to see your career? Where would you like to see yourself, say, in 5 years from now?
WWE. Definitely sure. WWE. I think that should be everyone's goal. WWE has been my main goal probably, as cheesy as it sounds, probably since I was 5 years old, you know, and that's always what I wanted. I always wanted to be in the spotlight. I always wanted to entertain and wrestle and just and have a good time with my life was something I love to do. In the next 5 years, you know, anything can happen. Anything can happen tomorrow or next year. You know, you just never know. You can't predetermine that stuff.
Who are your favorite WWE competitors right now?
Right now, I get a real kick out of the New Day.
Oh, you do? Really, oh, You're a New Day. Are you kidding me? You're a New Day fan.
I just get a kick out of them. I don't know why. It's just like, you know, they come out and they're goofy, you know, and I've always been told I'm pretty goofy, so I can kind of relate to them. And you know, you got the New Day. I really appreciate John Cena's hard work.
Yeah.
He does a lot for the company. You know, like he just signed a deal, I think, with China, you know, or something, right?
Yeah. The WWE just signed their deal with China. They just actually signed a talent from China first time. Yeah.
There you go. You know, and you have like John Cena, who's like really working his bum off, and you know, he actually knows how to speak Mandarin Chinese, and he's sealing the deal for the company. So like the right there, that's just someone who has a lot of passion, and you know, and he wants to help out. And I think that's pretty cool off his part. You have guys like, I'm really happy Dean Ambrose got what he deserved. You know, he's worked a long time, and a lot of bumps and bruises. Who else? I've always been a big Chris Jericho fan, you know, Walls of Jericho. I actually stole his move, the Lion Salt, which I called the Gypsy Salt. you know, guys like that, you know, like those are the guys that I appreciate and their hard work and everything. And, you know, I hope to work with them one day.
Well, you're 6 foot. You're you're build 224. You look a little bigger than that.
No, I'm not 224. I'm not 224. I'm like 200 and I'm fluctuating between 205 and 210.
Okay. So, I mean, you take a look at the guys right now. I mean, the WWE has the big cruiserweight classic going on. You know, it's, you don't have to be 6'5 and 280 anymore really to make it in the industry. You look at guys like Daniel Bryan. I mean, that's or Bryan Danielson. You know, you can see that. So I mean, it's anything is possible. But if what does the Vagabond have to do right now? What does he have to accomplish in the next couple years to get into, say, NXT?
Definitely make a name for myself and collect as much change as possible to create a buzz.
Okay, now how does somebody, if somebody wants to donate to the Vagabond, how do they go ahead and do that?
Oh, man, well, you know, because I don't have internet, I don't have all that stuff, so, like, I can't, like, set up PayPal or anything, so, like, you just got to come out to the show, like, if you want to really see me perform and do the drive.
Come to the show. And put money in the cup, and that's how you contribute to the Vagabond. Well, I think that's fantastic. That is awesome. I'll tell you, you have been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time out tonight. And
if I plug my social media?
Yeah, I need you to. You can plug whatever you want to plug, and we've got to get a liner from you for the show. So you go ahead and plug what you need to plug. You got all the time in the world. Go ahead.
All right, so you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Rogan, and please follow me. I need about like 5,000 followers so I can get a spot on Pro Wrestling Tees. I would really appreciate that a lot. You can follow me on Instagram, Ryan Rogan 165. I post some pretty sweet pictures. Facebook, you can like me. You can add me as a friend, and I'll accept. You know, I'm pretty open, and I'm friends with everyone. So you can check me out on social media. You can check some stuff on YouTube if you'd like. I'm trying to hustle some Vagabond T-shirts. So if you're interested in the Vagabond T-shirt, then you can always message me, and we can work something out. I don't know how I'm going to get them. I just got to go out in the street and collect some more change and see what I can do, you know?
That's fantastic. So check out, you can check out the new In Your Face New Breed champion, the new In Your Face Wrestling New Breed champion. Go online, check him out, like him. This is why we do this Know Your Independent, so that you get these superstars that we're talking to now. These are the guys that you're going to be watching on the WWE and NXT tomorrow. Ryan, thanks again so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, Andy, I appreciate you. I appreciate the fans that support independent wrestling, and I hope to see all of you out there. Thank you, and keep on keeping on.
All right. As always, boys and girls, remember to take care of the energy inside yourself. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio willing, if the higher power lets me, I'll be back to play with you all again next week. 7 days from now, it is the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.